Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Oh, hey, we're back. It's a sport. My name is Brandon. I've got John with me. Hi, John.
Hi, Brandon.
Stu's here. Hi, Stu.
Yo.
And Chicken. Chicken, hello.
What's up, fuckers?
Oh, it's good to be back. It's good to be back. Okay, we're recording this on Tuesday, probably, the day after the Wolves full-on piss-pounded the once-respected Chicken's favorite. It was Clarence's favorite, too, RIP. The Denver Nuggets, who he used to love.
That's
going to sting for you. Yeah, you were a Nuggets guy. You were a huge Nugs,
really?
Nugs fan. Yeah, well, Clarence was.
Really?
But he was a real doucher.
Why? Why did
I think like 10 years ago, I did a bit, you know me and my bits, where I gave everybody, I assigned teams to like.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. I gave you the Nuggets.
Yeah.
I think you used that to troll me for years, and you don't even remember it.
There's been so many. I can't. Yeah. It'd be a full-time job just to keep track of that.
Yeah.
It's CIA databases that have less information than that would have.
Just search through your vast files. Well, good job. Okay, so John, I'm curious. I'm just curious where your head's at. How you doing? How are you doing with all this? This is weird. This is weird and new. Do you want to start at the beginning? Do you want to start at last night? Actually, let's start at the beginning. Can we talk about the Suns playoff series and the absolute annihilation that happened? And you know, the Wolves are not one, I don't know when the last time, if ever, they have beaten a team so badly that it brought on like full-on organizational despair.
Yeah, that's
like
never
the owners just like, what, I don't even, just making shit up in the media. It's just a whole like soul searching that needs to happen. They're going on walkabouts privately, I'm sure, to try to just understand what exactly just happened. This is new. That right there is all already absolute new terrain for us, right?
Yeah, usually, I mean, I say usually, the two times before that the Timberwolves have won a playoff series, one, I can't even remember who they beat before they beat the Kings in 2004. Do you remember?
No.
I think it was Phoenix, John.
Was it Phoenix?
I think it was Phoenix.
All I remember about that series is there was one player for whatever team that was, and Kevin Garnett got into a war of words in which they were both accusing each other of liking men, I think. That was not only was it a disappointing war, that sort of gives you an indication of how long ago that was, where that was not necessarily a normal part of the discourse, but that's all I remember about that series. And the King series was a 7-gamer that wasn't decided until like the last 2 minutes. So I shouldn't say anything about when a Timberwolves team wins a playoff series, but rarely when any Minnesota team wins a playoff series, does the other team, the response from the other team is, well, that didn't work. This is one of the biggest failures in the history of the NBA. That kind of thing. Just an absolute existential crisis.
It was the Nuggets.
Mm-hmm.
It was Nuggets. The Nuggets.
The Nuggets. Yeah. It was. That's when Chicken decided to love the Nuggets.
That's right.
Yes.
14-year-old Chicken just sitting around 2004.
Mm-hmm. 14. Sure. Yep. Yep. Yeah.
That math checks out.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. I really enjoyed seeing Kevin Durant fail again. I didn't know that I would be at this phase of my hater lifestyle to hate it that much. He seems like an okay guy in general, but yeah, he's kind of fun to hate because he's kind of a loser now.
It wasn't Durant me,
wasn't Kevin Durant
on the Suns. There was somebody else who was like a whiny.
Yeah, Devin Booker. Everybody hates Devin Booker.
Booker, yes.
Yeah. Yep. He is more in the. He's more of a bitch, someone would say. Yeah. Yep.
Poppy, crybaby. More or in the bitch scale, more or less of a bitch than this, the guy who threw the. Hot ice on the, what did he threw
a heating pad?
Heating pad.
Can icy the, hot,
mm-hmm. icy hot under the
and a towel. Yeah,
is he a bigger bitch or is Booker a bigger?
I guess I would say Jamal Murray filled his diaper load more than the likes we've ever seen in any basketball. I can't remember the last time. Any player of any regard threw two things at a referee and started complaining that he was being double teamed, legal double team. This is not fourth grade basketball where this is not allowed. Like, you're allowed to do that. I don't even know what he was complaining about. That's gotta be the number one, whiny baby move I've ever or game by anybody. I think I've ever seen. I'm trying hard. I've been trying hard to think of another meltdown to that extent.
The last guy who threw stuff on the court, they made a movie about with Brian Dennehy portraying him. I mean, it's pretty rare for someone to throw shit on the court like that.
Yeah, and he did it twice.
During the game.
Yeah.
I mean, not during a timeout, like while the play was happening.
You're talking about John Wayne Gacy?
Yes,
maybe.
Yes,
maybe. I can't say I know his whole history. It's possible it was John Wayne Gacy. I think if a fan did what he did, they would not be able to come back into the arena maybe ever again. For sure, for the whole rest of that season. Like, we know it was Dave. Dave can't come here anymore. He threw two things at a referee. We didn't catch him the first time. We caught him the second time. Dave is out for good. That's what would happen. He's not even suspended for a game, which might actually be good news for the Timberwolves. So I think he's a...
I do feel like we need to mention that during the game last night, not only did one of their players throw things at the referee during the middle of play, but also... At one point, their coach charged off the bench like he was Earl Weaver getting into a tussle with Joe West at home plate.
He saw Don Denkinger across the way.
Like, squared up on him. Like, was going to legitimately, like, let's do this.
And somehow, in a league in which it's fairly common for a player to get a technical foul for looking at a referee wrong, somehow that was not punished in any
How
way.
Are you people not going crazy about this?
I am going crazy. This is like what I was going to ease my way into. Oh, let's start with the Suns and let's get into this.
Mm-hmm.
This is all that I've been thinking about is how fucking insane both of those things were. Yeah. And mostly the Jamal Murray thing, I can't believe. And again, like, I don't even know if he's kind of hurt. So it's not even like a competitive thing of like, oh, man, it'd be great if he was out because then we would have more be more likely to win. I don't even know if that's true. I just think it's absolutely insane. I was reading the content on the Internet, you know, a lot of the content, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, I wonder if he'll get suspended or not. I guess we'll see. And no one really seems to care. He fucking threw two things at a referee and like, he threw two things at him. And one of them, like, very easily, this thing like slid on the floor in the middle of a play. It'd be very simple if somebody would have stepped on it and like comically like Charlie Brown fallen over and gotten very seriously injured. And if that would have happened, do you think he would have been suspended? Like, is that the line? Like, well, nothing happened, so it's okay. Cause that doesn't really, either way, he threw something on a court, no matter what happened when it happened afterwards. right?
I was very confused because the answer seemed to be the ref was like, well, if he threw something on the floor, that's a technical. But if he threw it while he was angry and threw it at someone, now that, you know, then we have to worry about it's like, you remember last year during the Timberwolves games when people are trying to glue themselves to the floor and stuff?
Sure.
If Aaron Gordon glued himself to half court, I feel like the refs would be like, yeah, well, let the Nuggets get another guy out here. We can't have a guy glued to the floor counting as one of your five guys. And we don't need to punish him in any way. Just let him be glued to the floor, glued to the center circle.
I feel like it's the most like am I on crazy pills experience I've had in a very long time watching basketball. That is just like, oh, yeah, well, I don't know, maybe just a fine. Like Steph years ago, and don't fact check this, but I'm pretty sure he took his mouth guard out like when he was really upset at something and like chucked it randomly. And I think it like hit a fan or something, but it was a mouth guard that he just kind of threw in frustration, not directed at a ref while he was sitting on the bench onto the court. He threw it off the court. And I think he got ejected for that, as very well he should have. That's peanuts compared to what Jamal Murray did, right? That is so much more innocent than Jamal Murray legitimately throwing things at a ref. Like, what if he would have hit one of them? That's what he was trying to do. But because he missed, that's okay. And because nobody got hurt, that's okay. Like, I'm just so confused at where the line is. I don't know.
It's like it's
really insane.
Jamal Murray was 3-for-18 from the floor last night and 0-for-2 from off the floor. Hi-oh!
Yeah.
There we go.
3-for-20 total. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. I figured we'd get there at some point. You should maybe be ejected.
Yeah. I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. I just cannot even believe how little of a conversation it is. And I think the other thing that's being glossed over a little bit is the heat pack thing was the second thing he threw. He already did it once. Don't you do that once and be like, holy shit, I cannot believe I did that and got away with it. I am, as you know, a full-fledged hothead in most different things. I have never once thrown anything at an umpire referee, even though I very badly want to do that every single time I see
an ump or a referee. Have you sat and really thought about this and done an inventory and made sure you've never thrown anything?
I did.
If you really done, like, really, done a journey.
Okay.
Through all of your.
I guess last weekend I did throw a chair at a referee.
See,
but besides that last weekend, and then the whiteboard the weekend before, those are it though. That's it.
Have you now, Brandon? I want you to be honest here. We can all be honest. It's a trust tree. Nobody's listening. Have you ever had a moment as a town ball pitcher where you've made a secret plan with the catcher to throw a high fastball that somehow he just doesn't quite get the glove up and then nails the umpire right in the mask?
Oh man, I have not. That seems to me like,
oh, that's too far. Okay. I think
I'd be more likely to like lightly run him over in the parking lot than I would want to throw a fastball directly at him. I don't know why that feels a little bit. I would just bump him I wouldn't run him over, but bump him with my car feels a little more, I don't know. It just seems so aggressive to throw something that hard directly at a guy, even though he's in a mask. But now that you say it, it probably wouldn't be that bad, right?
Oh, no. Am I going to be arrested for abetting this crime? Oh, no.
I mean, it's probably fairly innocent now that I think about it. No, that seems really out of bounds. It seems super, super out of pocket.
I feel like I just bought OJ a pair of gloves.
Oh, man, I don't know, but nobody seems to care. We're the only ones who care that this guy, and it's not even like I'm just so offended by the act of it all. I just like the precedent has been set that nothing has ever been allowed even remotely like this.
I mean, if the weird thing is, like, if Draymond Green had thrown something on the floor, the National Guard would have been called out.
Oh, of course.
Immediately.
Yeah, they get him in that Hannibal Lecter thing.
I don't mean to defend Draymond. Yeah, I don't mean to defend Draymond. He's a crazy person, and he gets everything. He deserves everything that's coming to him. I'm just saying, somehow it was like, Well, Jamal Murray seems like a normal guy. I guess anybody can get angry and start throwing stuff on the floor of an NBA game from the bench. Who among us hasn't wanted to? Boys will be boys.
Oomst.
It's got to be because he's Canadian. It's got to be part of it, right?
Yeah.
See?
Just sort of assume it's a little there, different culture there.
I feel like the only NBA player that I know what country he's from is Rudy Gobert. Everybody else, I'm just completely in the dark. And you guys are like, well, Ben Simmons is from Australia. And I say, no, he's not. And then I'm flabbergasted as we record to find out that Kyle Anderson plays for the Chinese national team and stuff like that.
Yes. Yes. These are moments that you've had that it was a real shocking thing.
Just
live.
Absolute flabbergasting.
Live on air.
A live flabbergasting.
Yeah. I mean, the most shocking thing that's happened so far is that the Timberwolves are up 2-0 and including last night, game two, just absolute straight comedy. Like, it looked very similar. The most I've seen in a long time of like Globetrotters versus Washington Generals type basketball. I mean, it was, I can't even put it. I mean, you've watched it, I'm sure. They're up by like 30-something points, and it was some of the most, oh, man, beautiful. It was also beautiful. Chicken, did you watch it at all? Come on, talk to us. I know you're into basketball now. You're a basketball guy now, right?
No, I didn't watch this. Well, here is what I would say, and I want to ask one thing I am surprised by, and I don't think that's been discussed, but I haven't seen discussed, is you've got Timberwolves, old school diehards like myself. Mm-hmm. Day one, Metrodome, bleach, you know.
Who Richardson.
Like NASA Space Rover. You're looking from the top row of the Metrodome down on the court.
Shouting out, know, Tyrone Corbin, you suck!
Old school. These fans have embraced these new, there's obviously a million newcomers, bandwagon jumpers, whatever you want to call them, now that the Wolves are good, who never endured 1 second of the
they have zero pain in their lives,
misery.
They don't have PTSD, nothing. It's all been good for them. Johnny come lately.
I am proud of us old timers, of us diehards, that we've embraced them.
Yeah, we have.
I don't think all fan bases are like that. I think if you were in the Bataan Death March and like some guy just jumped in the last 10 feet and was like, oh, look at what we did. Look at how great we are for enduring this misery.
Yeah.
Of the Bataan Death March.
Like the last guy to join Gandhi's hunger strike. Like, yes. I skipped breakfast, man. It's like 10:30. This shit sucks, Gandhi.
I just coffee. I mean, would I've been, just coffee this morning. Really, it was tough. and I think we'd be right in being angry at the newcomers. Haven't seen
justified.
Haven't seen it. Everybody's been embraced, new, old. It's really been fun to watch the town come together this way. Proud of people.
Chicken, I swear to God, this happened in 1998, the Randy Moss rookie year. There were Vikings fans, all these like kids like are getting into the Vikings that year. And I swear that was a conversation that was had around here. It was like, these kids don't understand. they're just getting into Randy Moss and Randall Cunningham.
They don't even know who Rick Fenny is.
They don't understand the pain. And then they did. They found out very quickly in January the pain.
Yeah.
And it was,
you don't know Darren Nelson.
You will watch an hour and a half of Bill Brown running into the walls at Wrigley Field, then you get back.
I get that.
I don't know. I've never even thought to consider being that petty. It's impressive. I never even thought about
it.
But that's a thing.
Be that petty. I was exactly 4 weeks old when Drew Pearson pushed off. I was 4 weeks old. And Drew Pearson pushed up.
Remember it like
and
yesterday.
One of the most hated people in my life. It was just ingrained into me. I was 4 weeks old. It was like December 28th, 1975 or something. I mean, I was an infant. Hate him.
still
seared. And now it's like these kids, yeah, they, you know, these, they've been embraced. And I just think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, do you guys have like kids in your, like either your kids or kids, like friends of friends? Are they like all in? And has it been all like in. A thing oh, yeah. all season? Or was it just like they won a couple playoff games and now they're like, oh shit, this is kind of cool. Like when did the all ins kind of start with this? Because it wasn't about, last year, obviously.
My son about 3 weeks ago.
Okay. All right. Yeah, so a little bit of playoff success.
Yeah. When did the playoffs start? No. When were they 3-0 in the playoffs?
Oh yeah, probably
like a week and a half ago.
Yeah. Yep.
A week and a half ago.
That's when he saw they saw the 3-0, they're like, this is a pretty sure bet here. This makes sense. I can't be hurt by these guys yet.
My daughter, sorry.
No, it's okay.
My daughter, the Colorado resident, has heard a lot about the Nuggets in the last year, and she has taken much pleasure in these last two games just to let everyone in her circle out there hear it.
God bless her. Does she just
she's just
scream Naz Reid at everybody?
Just to hate. Oh, Naz Reid. Just a hater too, because she's still got those point guard, like that chip on her shoulder from being the smallest person on her travel team.
There you go.
So she's just an asshole to her Denver friends. It's great. I encourage it. I love her so much for doing that.
There's no bigger, just like generalized asshole in the world than the small point guard. Just the entire rest of their life is like, fuck you, I'll take you down. I don't care about you. Just been battling, just in the trenches.
Allen Iverson prototype.
Just full AI, the whole, everywhere you go.
Khalid El-Amin, all of those like prototypical, just 5'10 guys who are just, man.
Firecrackers.
And it's like, and obviously when you move out of state, that's like you hang on to the stuff that you, like that is from here. And I think like she like really got into the Vikings this year too, even though they were just, you know, not good.
Sure.
But she like just start, but like every Sunday, like they'd find a Vikings bar or something like that. So it's like, that's really helped her adapt and talk shit with her Colorado friends. So I watched the, I think did I mention this when I went and did karaoke with her and her friends when I went out there to visit her? It was the Friday of the NCAA tournament. It was also Denver, Minnesota at Denver, and they didn't have Murray that night. And the Timberwolves just boat raced them. It would have been like mid to late March. And I mean, obviously I also encouraged her to keep talking shit to her friends because I was doing it to her friends as well. And that was, it's this very cats in the cradle moment for, and then I sang Edmund Fitzgerald. So,
oh, I was just going to ask. Yeah. I should have known. Why would I even ask what you sang for karaoke?
Yeah. Yeah. And took 8 minutes, but it was great.
Did you go in for a second song?
Just the one. They did not want me back after that because I was doing a couple of ad libs about Jokic going back to Eastern Europe to star in a pornographic movie featuring donkeys and, you know, real clever, classy stuff after my seventh IPA of the day.
Oh, so, God.
But at least I was with my kid, you know?
Oh, man.
I would be, you actually, I think, held back. I think you should be celebrated for your restraint. I'd be in line at like the Jersey Mike's in Littleton getting a sandwich. Just not read. That's all I'd be doing.
She might be doing
not
that.
On the menu, sir.
Sir, I don't. Where? Who?
Order for Naz Reid. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Is it a pickup? Did you order ahead? Is it through the app? Yeah, it's been good. I was in Colorado a few months ago and they have very inspired karaoke. Everybody out in Colorado that I remember was somebody did Dick in the Box. It was fantastic.
Oh, sure.
And then two really, really incredible mulleted lesbian girls did Piss Up a Rope by Ween. And if you don't know that song, you should listen to it. And it is extremely funny to see too. And they were like 20 years old. Honestly, like, you know, every once in a while you go, yeah, the kids are going to be okay. They're going to be, they're going to be absolutely okay. They don't even know this song. They were not even born when it came out. They heard it and they had to get up and perform it as a duo. And it was, so the kids are going to be fine. They'll be just fine. And our kids are going to be fine, too, because they've got the Wolves. So mm-hmm. how big of a fan did your kid turn into, Chicken?
He watched it last. Well, yeah, he watched it last night.
All right.
Watched,
all right.
All of his buddies got together, watched it. Was it Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
They watched the first game one. All got together.
That was incredible.
God, Saturday was so fun.
Unbelievable. Yeah,
so they'll watch it, what, Friday? Is that the next one?
Friday night, 8:30.
They'll all get together. Yeah. They're all big fans.
Yeah.
Until they, you know, blow this 2-game lead and then they'll not remember it ever again. They'll never think about it again.
That's the, and Stu mentioned it earlier. That's a great point to remember all the people in 1998 who just tuned into the Vikings. They're like, this is good. This is good.
It's going to be like this
and it's
forever.
Just going to be good forever.
Yeah.
And those are the people who got their hearts ripped out probably the most. I count myself among that. I was a true believer until January 1999. And I don't think I've ever been the same level of Vikings fandom since. Not even close. And so there'll be some people here that I go, wow, it's pretty easy to cheer for this team.
Yeah.
And then like, for some reason, we'll have signed like Alexei Shved's kid in like 10 years and try to talk ourselves into like, I don't know, maybe. And it'll be really difficult for them. But for those of us, Chicken, like you and I, who are just kind of forged in the fires, we can't be hurt. That's the beautiful part about all of this. Like, you think you can hurt me?
Bulletproof.
They could lose the next 4 by 30 apiece. And I'd be like, I know.
Yeah.
I know.
You'd be like, listen, there was a 2-year period, 24 calendar months, in which the best thing that happened to the Minnesota Timberwolves was they signed Darko as a free agent. That was a 2-year period where that was the best. You can't hurt me with 4 consecutive losses. It can't hurt me.
They score. They had like 33 wins over those 2 years. It was like 17 wins and 16 wins in 2 full years. 33 wins is a bad single year. And we're still here. I mean, I
Gerald
can't even
Glass.
Begin the lowlights of it all.
Just go Gerald Glass. You know, Gerald Glass.
That's what we know. Us old heads, that's who we've dealt with.
They'll be like, is that a glass company? Is that like out of Roseville? Like they do windshields?
He was the bad guy that Samuel L. Jackson played in that Bruce Willis M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Go Google image Randy Brewer and just look at what comes up. We cheered for him. We looked at him and went, he's an NBA player. Yep. He's my guy.
One of us, too. One of us.
Yep.
One
Lake
of
City, us. Baby.
Yep.
One of us. Yeah.
Todd Murphy.
With one D. Todd with one D.
Because
who does that?
The other D
was not defense. The other D was
a little
new frontiers in Todd-dom right there. What if I was a Todd, but I was even more Todd? How would I do that? 3Ds? No.
I would have gone with a 3D, honestly.
Yeah.
You guys ever met a Todd? That's a
don't D. tempt these Todds.
D. Ever met one of those?
No.
What?
Ever come across a T-A-U-D Todd?
Todd, that's...
No, never.
Wow, it's so innovative. No. See, no Todd has ever been that creative. Well, it's been great. I am very happy for probably the happiest for Carl Anthony Towns most like so far. I think he slayed some dragons. He was like kind of, he's going to always be shit on. That's fine. That's kind of like part of his deal. Even when he has good games, I'm getting texts from people who just ignore every single good thing. And they're like, hey, nice foul, Cat, fucking moron, which is just kind of
what Anthony Edwards says, too.
Right, exactly. Which is, I think that's just who he's always going to be. Like, he's a grown adult now. But I think I'm happiest for him so far because he has been really good in both the series. But I'm also in full on just love with Nickeil Alexander-Walker. I think that's just like a little understudy to Jaden, and they're both on the floor at the same time. It's just, I can't even like the destruction and how frustrating it must be to see both these guys coming at you. It's just got to be very painful. So I really enjoyed that. And yeah, beyond that, I mean, all the other stuff's pretty obvious, how good Ant's been and everything.
Also, I do want to say I got a great deal of enjoyment, not because it was going well for the Timberwolves, but I laughed a lot at the Nuggets' categorical refusal to guard Kyle Anderson at all when mm-hmm. he had the ball. Like, the ball would go to Kyle Anderson in the corner, and two Nuggets guys, instead of like, oh, we're going to try to double team him or somebody's going to get out there, everyone would run to the other side of the floor just to encourage him to try to do a basketball. And he would, you know, he would shoot a three and miss it, or he would try to drive to the basket and fall down. And it was just such a level of disrespect that I got, even though it was poor for the Timberwolves, I still couldn't help but laugh at it. It was like, you know, full Ben Simmons, or even before him, Rajon Rondo. Like, he would get mm-hmm. into about this round of the playoffs, and other teams would just literally stop guarding him. Like, yeah, go ahead, dribble wherever you want.
Please.
Dribble all the way to the basket and try to shoot. We'd love to see that.
Yeah, it's very true. It's smart. Okay, that's all I got on the Wolves. All I really want to keep talking about is how insane it is that Jamal Murray is not suspended. Just so you know, that's all. I'm still like, we'll never get over that part, but everything else has been absolutely incredible. So, hooray us. Okay. Really quickly, this is probably just a question for John. Any rooting interest in the other series? Are you paying attention to the rest of it?
I do have a rooting interest in the other.
Wait,
Western
this
Conference
is not the
series.
Finals?
Hold on.
So I just want
it's May.
Isn't Holy the season shit. Over yet?
And it's not even close, man. We got 6 weeks left.
I'm not gonna say when, but I'm gonna say if.
Say
if
when
the Timberwolves if the Timberwolves were to win this series against Denver, mm-hmm. I desperately want Dallas to win the other series, because I'm imagining what would happen if you get Jaden McDaniels and Nickeil Alexander-Walker out there doing to Luka Doncic what they did to Jamal Murray last night. Because scientists, if they are there to study it, they could find entirely new shades of red, heretofore undiscovered shades of red, in Luka's face as he's just turning into a color of fuchsia. Nobody's ever seen it before, screaming at the referee, claiming that he's been fouled. I think that there could be scientific discoveries in this series, if only we can get the Wolves defending like they did in last night's game against Luka. I think it's a step forward for man.
A whole new color that we've not even
never seen before.
Never even been invented.
Considered, we've tried neons, we've tried all sorts of scientific things, but somehow nature finds a way. And I think that could happen with Jaden McDaniels guarding Luka in the next round.
Yes, if there's anybody with potential for more diaper filling in the NBA, Luka is number one. You're right. Wow. Well, Devin Booker was a top five, and so we already got him. Jamal Murray was a top five, we got him. That would be the next one to slay, would be Luka.
Also, I hate to say anything against a Minnesotan, because, you know, I'm a parochial nitwit and I've always said this, but SGA and Chet Holmgren, for that one commercial where they're singing, they have to go to prison. There's no other option.
What on earth was the copywriter or the creative director thinking? Those guys don't know that song. It was not even, it's like an oldie song to them. It's not even like a classic oldie song.
It wasn't cool at
There's
the time.
There's for sure just like, what the fuck it's song are you talking about?
Do neither of them have agents?
When I saw that commercial, but you are in the marketing realm.
Yep.
These things, you need to explain to me, and I'm not in a joking way, how does that get to print? It's not print. I was going to say print. How does that get to market?
Yeah.
An ad that bad. A concept. So the concept's poor, but it got beyond concept into production. The production's horrible. And then it got beyond. So it's a bad concept with bad production. And then they still ran it. They didn't just run it a few times and then get laughed off air and they pulled it and hope everybody forgets. Now they're just, it's like they're almost leaning into it. Explain to me the process of how this happens. What is it?
I gotta tell you guys,
they spent so much money that they have to run it.
Yeah,
but you will not have known this. How? You were watching the Wolves on Saturday, but I was covering the Minnesota United game, so I could not watch the Wolves. I had to cover Minnesota United, and so I was watching the Apple TV broadcast. And I'm not joking when I say that that ad was played during every commercial break.
Yes,
the whole game.
I bet.
Before the game, twice at halftime, and then after the game again, that ad was played again. How,
John? I'm not gonna. Why? It's not gonna surprise you. I'm watching the NHL playoffs. It's played every ad break in the NHL playoffs.
What? It's in the NHL playoffs?
I know about it. I've seen it 100 times.
Well,
what? Explain it to me.
I can't explain it to you because none of it makes a ton of sense to me. The one thing that I was kind of rolling through my head is like the people that they're trying to target with this, whatever even promotion is, are probably like older millennial, younger Gen X type. So they're like, well, it should be an older song.
That's you.
Okay, fine. Mm-hmm. But then why would you have it be starring two like 23-year-old guys? Like that's not okay. So that's already we're completely fucking off the rails. And then the other thing was like, maybe they had like, well, we got these two guys that are, they're kind of cool young guys and we want them to sing kind of a fun old song to kind of span generations. Maybe the only thing is like, they tried like, I don't, how many other songs would you have had to try before you got like the rights to a certain artist? Like, did 5,000 other artists say, no, you can't use our song until they finally got to the very end? And Christina Aguilera was like, you can only use my like 11th most popular one. The rest, like, did they not have, and because in some of those cases, you don't have, they don't want to spend the money for the rights to a song, you know, because you got to pay for the song. But they clearly have the money because they're spending $500 fucking million dollars on the actual ads. So I keep trying to work my way into some explanation and then my brain, like it leaks out of my ears of like how stupid this all is. And then the other thing too, they're singing What a Pro Wants as if like the promotion of it's like a phone or a service, but who gives a shit what pros like,
I'm not a pro.
I don't give a shit. Like, what do I care? They're also, they probably each have like 40 phones themselves, right? They've got like, 39 mistresses and their wives. So like they don't like none of it makes, I just keep trying to talk like some sense of it because you're right. This is like this is my job is to think through these sort of things.
I thought
and
about
I
you
keep
when I
trying yes. to like make some sense of it. And then the only other thing for like it still being on the air because they had to have gotten swift feedback that like, man, we have because every company has some like platform or they sign up for a service to be like, how, what are people talking like on social, on Insta, on Facebook, on whatever? What are people saying? They had to have gotten a report quickly. They were like, this is not good. This is, they are, I mean, people, I searched like What a Pro Wants and Kill Myself, and I got 50 million hits. it's not, this is really going poorly. And so my first thought was like, what happens sometimes is you actually have a, it's, you didn't just buy the ad space, you bought like a partnership with the NBA to be like, well, you get $50 million worth of inventory and it's only costing you $20 million. And they're like, well, we're kind of, I know it sucks, but we're locked into this commercial because we already did the thing. But now again, my brain is coming out of my ears again because you say you see this on NHL playoffs. Like what? Yeah. What? How did they?
They got a package that involved every TV broadcast on our earth at a time.
We need to tell every human being on in the country about some weird service that pros get. What a pro wants. Oh my God! I just can't even.
Stu, you're in the marketing world. Do you have any?
Solve it.
You sell?
No, I can't. I don't really have a. I just. This reminds me of like back in the 70s, and it was like Rocky Blair and Tony Dorsett singing Black Betty to like sell cigarettes into school lunches or something. I can't remember what it was. No, I'm sorry. I'm high now.
I didn't expect. I didn't expect you to go there.
Sorry about that.
Did you want to roll? Okay. All right, no. I'll let you be about it. I don't want to keep. I was going to keep just, exploring
yeah,
that space.
Right,
that,
yeah,
sorry,
it's really
that trip we're going on.
I don't expect to contribute much more tonight.
That's fine. I just don't. I don't get any of it. And the only other thing I can think about is the executives know, like, the shit went, it's not good at all. And so what usually happens is, well, we have another commercial that we use, like, before this one that we can get, we'll just put that one back in. My only thought is they just don't have anything else that they have gotten rights to that they're like, ah, shit, just maybe it'll become kitschy, you know, because it'll be like so ridiculous that it'll turn itself back around. And the other
Brandon,
thing is,
another thought I had is, are they bright enough to know that this was going to happen and that there'd be like us? I wouldn't be talking about a What a Pro Wants commercial, except for it to be this bad and this poorly of an executed concept. Are they playing chess enough at that level?
Like, let's just make the worst thing we could ever possibly make. That
Without
is a level of genius that I don't even know how to anticipate. Like, if you went about trying to make the worst thing ever, yeah, I guess maybe you'd think of some earwormy type song that makes no sense and just hope that people are like, what? But it's got to be what in a bad enough way where people don't just forget about it and be like, I don't get it. This is like, people are really trying to figure out, like, wait, there's got to be some levels to this. Is
yeah,
Christina Aguilera from Oklahoma City?
Are they,
and that's like,
so,
is,
are they,
is she married
to that needle? That's a, that is a small eye of a small needle.
Boy, that's, yeah, that's a tight squeeze. That is a real tight squeeze. In any event, it is really impressive though at how unifying that commercial has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's really cool that, like, my kids hate it. They can't
stand
it.
No, I was thinking of that. Like,
it's cool.
There's obviously the Bud Light stuff. That wasn't mm-hmm. unifying. They had a lot of push, obviously a lot of hatred, but it wasn't, it was divisive. I mean, it wasn't even, it was the opposite of unifying.
Mm-hmm.
In this sense, in one way, there are heroes. They brought the country together.
Like nothing we've seen in many years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's pretty cool. Thank you.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
And
to tie it all together. Like,
thank you, Verizon.
Old school Wolves fans like you and I embracing bandwagon, the new bandwagon jumpers.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful that they've unified.
Yeah.
Like you and I are heroes.
Yeah, in the same
Wolves fans.
Actually in a double way, because we also hate that and we love the bandwagon. Yeah, we're kind of the number one.
That's it.
Yeah. Tied for one. Okay, yeah, John, back to the Mavericks. I agree with you. Go Mavericks. Boo OKC. And then the Eastern Conference, who gives a shit, right? I don't.
Yeah, I'm not ready to start looking at the Eastern Conference and
there's a whole other conference?
There's a whole other league, like kind of league deal, yeah. Celtics, Cavs, Knicks, Pacers. It's bad over there, man. Oh,
I do want to ask you, Brandon. At this point, it's been 25 years now.
It's been.
Are you willing to concede that I ended up winning the Sixers versus Timberwolves bet?
Well, no, because we have asked each other, are you willing to concede every couple of years now for a number of years? So we're just going to keep
every few weeks. It's every couple of weeks.
Yep.
For 20 years.
Yep. In 2078. I did... John, are you willing to concede?
Hologram Brandon.
Still calling on a landline for some reason.
Downloaded my brain to the cloud, and he'll be contacting you.
While I was watching the Wolves game last night, I was imagining Joel Embiid watching the game on television, like clutching a giant pillow that's dressed up with a ref jersey on it and like tears running down his face. And, you know, he's just sort of screaming like, why aren't they calling anything? How come that man touched him? How is he not getting every call? What's going on? Hold me.
He's also kind of a unifier in hatred. Yeah, it's kind of become that way for him.
You hate him?
No.
What?
No, I don't know that I hate him. I don't know.
You're a homer.
I am a little bit of a homer. It's hard to turn around and hate something that, you know, that quickly. I try, but my hater aid just is not as strong as the others. I'll get there. I just got to put the work in, man. I haven't been putting in the time. I've been busy with other stuff. I got to get back in the lab. Remember,
that is
the foundational principles.
It's one of my favorite tweets, and one of the most underrated tweets is the one that says, the haters said I couldn't do it. And I got to admit, they were right.
The haters are right.
Shout out to the haters.
Good call by the haters.
Great call by the haters.
The haters said I couldn't do it. And frankly, they were right.
Great call by the haters.
Okay,
and
fun.
That's why we won World War II.
Oh boy. All right, good times.
We've had an interlude.
Yes, we did. Bad tech on my end. But let's stop screwing around and get to the main event, which is we drafted a quarterback. We did it. I want to talk about it. We got to talk about football. Does anybody have an opinion on J.J. McCarthy? Chicken? You have to have one.
My opinion was I was very interested to hear what you three thought. I have the three of you have been kind of radio silent on the pick. I haven't seen an opinion one way or the other. So my guess was that you were just kind of lukewarm or indifferent, and you were neither angry or excited. I think where I'm at, I'm not anti it. I think there will be some on here who are anti, and that's good because I want the hate from this podcast.
Oh yeah.
I think it's what we do best. It's just with the Wolves, there's just too much love. I want the negativity. I want the controversy. So, but I'm not there. I think the biggest opinion I have on it is everybody, like you opened this discussion, Brandon, by saying, oh, we got a quarterback. They drafted a quarterback. Finally, the Vikings drafted a quarterback. And I'm still thinking that he still was the fifth quarterback taken in the draft. The Vikings they will not have drafted the guy until they have the first or second overall pick in the draft.
You think this
until then, it's likely that he'll just be above average at best.
You don't think that there's a chance that he's really good, right? Or is he like a low ceiling guy? Like, he's not Ponder-esque, correct?
No. Well, his arm strength is one of his biggest attributes is arm strength. He can throw the ball hard,
yeah,
and relatively accurate, and he's a good athlete. So just his raw skills are far superior to Christian Ponder. Just arm strength. I think they said he had the third highest miles per hour throw in combine history.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, whatever. That's miles per hour. It's not.
Sure.
But Christian Ponder couldn't have ever done something like that, obviously. So, and he's relatively accurate. Now, it's everything else that I think people are down on him for.
I think that
he's won at a very high level.
I just, yeah, he wins a lot, but that's a team metric.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely.
So I think for me, it's more like I don't really know. I don't have a comp or a thing that I can really talk myself into, good or bad, that I just kind of feel like a little bit of a wait and see. Like, he could be unbelievable because he's got a really strong arm and he's very athletic. And seems to be, I'm a casual, so I don't pay much attention, but I went to Pro Football Focus or something, which seems like a pretty good nerd site. And they were like, he's really good in the middle of the field and needs to work on accuracy on the outside of the field. Which I was like, all right, cool. But that doesn't seem like that big of a red flag. You know, that's, and he can move around the pot. He maybe doesn't like great with like check downs or whatever. He gets maybe possibly a little bit of happy feet, but like that could, I mean, a guy who's got a really good arm and is really athletic seem to be like the two biggest qualities you'd look for in a modern wide receiver. And then I'm like, okay, cool. But you probably could have said the same thing about like Ryan Tannehill, you know, or like Jake Locker or Sam, you know what I mean? Like there's a bunch of guys like that. So like the whole other, I don't really know how to evaluate any quarterbacks at all, unless they're like blinding speed. But which again, like, so does Justin Fields has blinding speed. I don't know if that really means much, or just like an absolute freak of nature like Mahomes, which is there's just one of them. So like he could be Justin Herbert, I'm sure, like pretty close. Or like I said, he could very easily just be one of those other guys. So
Sam Darnold.
He could also be Sam Darnold. And that would not be like in 4 years from now, if he's basically Sam Darnold, you'd never be like, wow, that's a bummer. That's very disappointing. I thought he'd be better than that. Like, why would you think he'd be better than that? Like, you can't really talk yourself into it. Realistically, but also if he's a top five quarterback in 5 years, if he is again like Justin Herbert or something like that, you'd go like, yeah, totally. Yeah, he never really lost ever at football, and he's got really good attributes. Like, it just seems to me like, so I don't really have a beat on like who he is or who he could be. And the knock is like he didn't throw for a million yards in college like some of these other guys, right? But then if you want to...
They didn't ask him to do much.
They didn't ask... Yeah, so like, is that good or bad? Like, it doesn't seem like a great quality, but it's also like, it's possible. Like, there was a bunch of people kind of complaining about Mahomes coming out of college because of stuff. So who the hell knows? I think he's in a really good situation, though. I think that's really helpful. Got really, like, talented. And it seems like O'Connell and... I don't even know what we're calling our general manager. Cam, are we just calling him by the acronym? Kwesi?
Yeah, Cam. Cam works. I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, that guy. They seem at the very least to be like good people with good heads on their shoulders, or not, you know. So like, it's pretty much set up for him to have a really good shot at it, I would think. Like a pretty good situation.
So yeah, I think that's a good summary. I think so. Of the four of us right now, I am guarded optimism.
Okay.
I think tepid optimism. You are square in the middle of just shruggy guy emoji.
Yep.
I want to hear from Stu, because I think he's going to be me, but on the other side. Kind of guarded pessimism.
On my better days, I'm cautiously optimistic. On my worst days, I just think he's another guy. I think they might have drafted Kirk Cousins, which is fine, but I mean, not going to win you a Super Bowl. And if that's what you want to do, you've got your window with JJ for like 3 to 5 more years, and you have to be right about this. And I don't know. I don't think they are.
There's nothing we've seen so far that would give you hints that he's like an absolute top tier talent, right?
But I mean, everyone thought Bryce Young was the best quarterback last year, and CJ Stroud is, you know, leaps and bounds ahead of him.
Right.
So,
nobody knows anything.
Nobody knows anything.
He's kind of just average, like age wise. He's not like a like Anthony Richardson last year was a big reason they thought he could be really good, because he was only like 20 or 20. Like, he's super young versus like Bo Nix is 29. So, or whatever the number is. So he's not like old, but he's also not like,
I think he's 22. Penix okay. is 24, 25, something like
that. He's the old, he and Bo Nix are the old guys of the.
Yeah. Right? I think McCarthy's either 21 or 22. I think he is 22. I'm not looking it up.
No. God, no. Not going to happen. Jonathan?
All I know is this. The Vikings had Kirk Cousins, and it was amazing that in a town that once hosted Joe Mauer, Kirk Cousins became absolutely the most cornball athlete we've ever had in town. Just far and away, just a total bucket of popcorn. And somehow Kirk Cousins has moved on. And so they were like, well, let's find a guy who might be just as cheesy as Kirk. We want to replace, we're going to draft a human mozzarella stick. And we can't do better than J.J. McCarthy. He's just going to be the cheesiest weirdo we've ever heard of in our lives. And right there, we're back to having a weirdo quarterback again. I don't think anyone's asked him if he has a jar full of rocks on his porch, but I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Okay, I had no idea about this side of his life. I thought maybe he was kind of a cool guy.
No, okay. Famously liked to walk around on the field before games barefoot to connect himself with the field, the earth.
Ah, shit. Yeah. I'm out.
He liked to sit up against the goalpost and meditate.
Caleb Williams wasn't doing this shit. He was nailing the cheerleaders before the game. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's what I want.
Jim McMahon.
All right. This is new intel. This is new information to me.
So
I've just been given some information.
Get prepared.
Yeah.
You're not gonna. There's no Naz Reid phenomenon coming for J.J. McCarthy, where he becomes a town. Everybody's holding up towels with his name on it and stuff like that. He's just a weird dude.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
His dad is one of those guys who is like Marinovich's dad, kind of.
Mm. Oh, really?
Like, he's like, my son's a quarterback from day one. Like
Marv McCarthy.
Was going to like quarterback country day, quarterback Montessori, quarterback New Horizons. I mean, just literally all of that shit. So, I mean, he was raised to do this. This was literally the job he got the day he was born. We inherited the curse of the Vikings. He inherited being a quarterback. So,
okay. All right.
I have my radar. That was a ping for me. It's like, oh, I don't know.
Is a positive? We got serious football Bobby Hurley possibilities here.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Okay. All right. Red flag on red flag here. Okay. What if we go so far in hating him that all of a sudden he becomes a little bit of an underdog type? Can we try that?
You mean like Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, didn't take for him, did it? No. All right.
Sure, God, I'd love to be so wrong about this.
Yeah. There's breadcrumbs that he could be really good, but that's the best we can hope for now.
Christian Ponder can make all the throws, Brandon.
You know what? No. God, do you think anybody said that? We should find those people.
It was Pelissero that said.
It was Pelissero that said that.
Not in the top 50.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nobody gives a shit about arm strength. Yeah. Right. That was a tough one. He's still doing fine, but that's a tough one.
That one haunts me. That statement to me. That was to me. He said it to me personally. Still haunts me.
Right. Just like, is there a typo here? Can you
name 50 quarterbacks?
You said 50. You're the one who said 50. Like, I didn't even throw that number. You said.
That's you. Not me. You name 50 attributes.
You get four deep and be like, oh, fuck.
Haunts me.
And now shows up on time. I don't know.
On ESPN, and here I am. So
kneecap height.
Fingernail clipping frequency, very strong. Every week, it's really good. Oh boy. Okay. Well, how about this? I'm really trying to talk myself into. I thought I saw some sort of video or quote from Kevin O'Connell, who was like, every year there's been guys who other people in our organization get just talk themselves into. They're super excited about whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm not that guy. I'm talking everybody out of a guy over and over and over again. Is he smart enough pro, like before the draft, to say stuff like that just to kind of get more trust from fans? Because that's pretty savvy if he is, but I kind of, maybe there's something to that, right? It's like if we draft it's a guy, we believe
tried
it.
To.
We didn't need to get this guy. And they feel like they have a lot of stability. I mean, it seems like from the outside, they have some stability where they weren't like, oh, fuck, just we got it. We got to have to, we're in trouble here, guys. I don't feel like they're on their last legs in that regard. I don't think.
I do think there was so much smoke around the fire that J.J. McCarthy is the guy they want pre-draft and post-draft. I actually believe this one. I do think that he is truly the guy they wanted, and that McCarthy wanted to go to Minnesota. I really think that's a real thing. It's just too many people were saying it for it to be coincidentally not true. So
there's
but
that.
We'll see what that actually means.
Other good things, they didn't give up a ton to get him.
Yep.
They still have a first round draft pick next year if things go. I mean, not like they're. I mean, unless it's an absolute disaster, they're not going to give up on him, you know, right away, but. Okay.
I think ultimately what we all need to do is come together as a state, as a nation, just to laugh at the Atlanta Falcons. Ultimately,
beautiful.
One of the funniest draft moves in the history of the NFL draft. Even almost as good as the times that the Jets would take like a fullback with the 10th pick. Just absolutely. And a classic press conference to follow up where the reporters are like, well, we talked to Kirk Cousins and they really hate it. And they're like, yep, I can see that.
That does make sense now that you say it. This is the What a Pro Wants commercial version of a football move, in that the longer you think about it, the less sense it actually makes. At one point, they gave it. I think they're just saying things, hoping that people will just go, all right, yeah, whatever, and move on. But it makes it worse. At one point, they were like, well, we think we're going to be good for a very long time, so we won't be able to draft a quarterback for a long time. And so you're saying, okay, so in your perfect world, you don't use your first round draft pick for like 8 years. That's what you're saying is the best case scenario, is you just drafted a 24-year-old quarterback who you hope to God you're going to be so good for, so that he won't play until he's 30. That's what they said. That's not even like what our theory is. They said it out loud. We're going to be good for a long time with Kirk Cousins, and so we're not going to get a quarterback for a long time. So we had to get him now to do nothing. We really are hoping, our best case, we're hoping to God this guy never plays for us. Our first round pick, and we really want to waste it. That's what we, I really don't want to use this, have this guy play. That's what they are saying.
And the Falcons, it'd be one thing if like the Falcons won the Super Bowl last year, but thanks to a trade from 3 years ago, they had a first round pick in the top 10. And so it's like, well, you know, we're going from a position of strength here. We're gonna take the best guy available. They lost to Josh Dobbs last year. The Falcons are terrible. They're a garbage team. What is happening?
You need a first round pick. You need a guy that will play for you, and they don't
use that on good football players that will play next year.
They publicly said we don't want him to play for a couple years. We don't want this first round draft pick for at least 3 years is our hope. So that's their best case scenario is he doesn't play.
It was like, remember, this is back at the start of the offseason when there were a lot of Vikings commentators and even fans that were saying, well, maybe the best thing is if the Vikings take a quarterback in the draft, but they also re-sign Kirk Cousins to some contract. I think the assumption there was like, well, they'll get Kirk Cousins at a discount price for, you know, whatever reason, and then they'll draft a quarterback. And that's the best case scenario. And it was like there was a memo written a year and a half ago for the Vikings that were like, here's a possibility. We could try to re-sign Cousins and draft a quarterback. And then it was thrown in the garbage and somehow it fell off the truck and hit the Falcons GM. And he was like, yep, we're done. We don't need to do any more prep. That's a perfect plan. We love this plan. We're going with this plan. And the Vikings rejected this plan for good reason. As soon as they saw, like, Kirk Cousins' agent said something like, well, what we'd like is a 4-year contract for 100. And I assume at that point, Quezzy was just like, nope.
Like,
he's like, oh, well, let me finish. $180 million. No. Anything. One. I heard one, and that's
for
enough.
$150.
We're done here.
Still no.
We're done here. Nope.
I just so they're hoping that he doesn't have to play. In the opposite scenario where he does have to play, they just lit $100 million on fire, right? So those are their two.
Those are their two best case scenarios. Those are your two best case scenarios that you just mentioned right there. Either they made the dumbest move ever or the dumbest move ever. And those are the best cases.
If Cousins was signed for a year, sure.
Yeah. Oh, fine. Great. You're probably
just signed
ahead.
They just signed him.
Yeah. Like, not that long. And they were so desperate to get him that there was talk the Vikings would get one of the Falcons' picks because of tampering. Like, at no point in this process did the Falcons do anything that indicated that they were professionals.
Cousins hasn't even had a chance to put his rock bag on campus yet. Or what
it's
is, like, is it a bag? What is he?
It's
like,
rock
shoe? I think it's a vase.
Yeah.
Rock vase. Like
or vase.
Lawn ornament.
I don't
it's
know
like
what
when
we're
somebody
saying these
invites,
days.
Invites their 9-year-old to be in a fantasy football league and they draft 3 quarterbacks to start with and you're like, Bryson, there are other positions. Look at the back of your sheet. What?
God damn it. We talked about this on the way over. Yeah. Yep. It is. It does feel good to not be the Falcons.
Yep. So,
oh, man,
between that and Chet Holmgren, we've got plenty to be angry about.
We also we moved up in the draft and gave up a couple extra picks for a defensive guy who's supposed, I think, is he going to be like replacing Danielle Hunter? Is that kind of the hope? Like a Micah Parsons type or a...
Micah Parsons is a better comp.
Better than Hunter because he can play in space a little bit more.
I am absolutely a stand for that pick. Dallas Turner is fucking awesome.
Okay, Dallas Turner. Is that
That's
what his name
Rand Ball Stew guarantee that Dallas Turner will be really good this year.
And you know, I'm partial to Dallas Turner because of that one time in the 90s. There was that famous clip of Dallas Turner beating Plano East in the Texas high school football playoffs.
Okay,
that was pretty great.
Okay,
that was pretty great. Good memory, John.
So we like Dallas Turner. We did give up, what, 2 extra picks next year or something. It doesn't really seem to be the MO that you would think of Cam. But yeah, a little out of character this year.
Yep.
Kind of cool.
When they think he's going to zig, he zags. I do like that.
So I was hoping to do a new bit today. I love new bits. And what I like to do is introduce a new bit that we'll do again and then never do it again. So we'll do another one of these. It's called the chicken check-in.
Oh, no.
Chicken check-in. I would love a chicken check-in on your point of view on Cam overall. Where were you at before the draft? Where are you at now? Just checking in.
I was as down on him as I think a person could be pre-draft.
Okay.
His continuation of the Spielman model of accumulating volume and believing that's where value lies rather than top of the draft impact, building a team around impact players at the top of the draft.
He was a numbers guy. He was a single guy at a bar going, I'm just going to hit on 100 women.
Yeah.
Eventually, maybe something works out here.
It may be a chapter in one of Malcolm Gladwell's book. I'm not super familiar with all of his work, but I would think the theory has been discounted since.
Mm-hmm.
But then he, like I said, you think he was going to zig, and he zagged instead this draft, and went for kind of the higher end talent. Identified a plan in it, and they executed it. Now, I had said a month ago that I think McCarthy was going to be there at 11. They didn't need to trade anything away at all. Everybody was bluffing. Nobody was going to take him. I think that's proven. They could have just stood still, but it was only one spot they moved up. Overall, I liked it. I liked the draft, and his stock is rising. And I know he was wondering how I'd feel. I mean, there was a lot. He was.
I heard some feelers.
He's curious about it, so he's waiting on this.
I got a couple DMs.
Yeah. He's waiting for this podcast to be posted to hear how I feel. So
can you imagine the restless nights he's had just tossing and turning? I just keep checking my Overcast app. I don't see it.
And he's checking Spotify. DM'd a few times, and I was like, you just gotta be patient. But
I don't work on your schedule, Cam. I work on my schedule. It's chicken's time.
CT.
It's CT. Okay, that's good. That's a chicken check-in. That's all I wanted to know about. Stu, can I ask you a question? Are you prepared?
Yes, I am.
My question is, what is your opinion or thought or prediction right now on how we're going to be next year? What do you think?
The Minnesota Football Vikings?
Yeah, the Football Vikings.
9-8.
Knew it.
Whoa. Okay. That's good, right? That's a good number for like a rookie quarterback.
And... I don't know.
Well, Brandon, you're making the assumption he's going to start. I'm not sure. It's so certain.
You think you're going to go 9-8 with Sam Darnold at the helm?
No, yeah. I'm just saying, I don't know what the record's going to be. I'm just saying, I'm not certain they're going to start McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good thought. He's got to be pretty bad to not at least get a crack at it, right? He's not like a project guy. He's not like a Mitch Trubisky only started 10 games, doesn't know what he's doing type guy.
Well, they've kind of intimated that they've got certain thresholds that McCarthy's going to have to reach in order to move on to the next threshold. These benchmarks that they've called in practice. So it sounds like they're just trying to, they're really stressing they're going to be very patient with him, which tells me they're setting the stage for fans not to revolt when he doesn't start week one.
Okay. All right. Just That's give him plan. a little bit of rope.
Yeah.
I guess that could happen. That makes sense to me. I will not be happy on week one if I have to watch Sam Darnold play football.
Cam has mentioned that, and that's what they're worried about. It's what is that you are specifically are going to be upset. So,
a casual like me, they shouldn't, you know, these guys, they care about us so much. I do appreciate that they do check in on us. But I hope, and I'm talking to these guys directly now because I know they're fans. Don't listen to me. You do what's right. Because I was also like, yeah, I want to see what Jaren Hall has to offer. I got to see this. And then three passes in, I was like, cut him. Get him out of here. I don't even know where you need to send this guy. I'm sure he's a very friendly guy. I don't need to see this again. Like, you know, we have so much hope for these guys, and it's pretty easy immediately to go like, yeah, this is wrong league. Wrong league for you. Go join a flag football league. So I do want to see him just because I'm curious, but I don't know if that's necessarily the best move. So I guess we'll see. Okay, that's good. Good segment. Any other Vikings parting? We got lots of time. I'm out of content. I have a real quick one.
Maybe I have a top six, Brandon.
Oh, perfect. Very quickly, I'm curious, Chicken, did your any children play traveling baseball?
Yes. No.
Okay. My oldest kid is still in Little League, which is very different from traveling. And we are joining traveling for a couple tournaments. And I think
did they ever? Yes. Okay. I thought you meant right now.
Not now. No, I know not now. And I'm curious what to expect this upcoming weekend or 2 weekends from now on travel. Like, what's the difference between we play dorky house league, Little League, and traveling baseball? I think it can get a little intense, and I'm curious your thoughts on like how funny and crazy should I expect these other coaches to be?
I think I think it's night and day. I think it will be, what I can recall, it is in-house is more, I mean, almost to the level of half the kids are wearing jeans and tennis shoes.
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you this story. We had a baseball game last night, and a kid hit a ball. We were on defense, and he hit a ball to left field, and our left fielder was in the middle of eating a Snickers bar.
Yeah, no, it's...
He's 12 years old. He's got a mustache. Chicken, he's got a little wispy mustache, and I told him to go play left field, and he went out there with a motherfucking full-size Snickers bar, and like the comically had unwrapped it so you could see the white of the inside, and just chowing down. Fly ball to left field. Nope.
And
didn't
then,
get it.
So then you contrast that to travel ball, and every single kid will be decked out to the nines. You'll have a kid who...
Din guard, elbow guard, oven mitt in the back.
Oven mitt. And you could give him 500 opportunities to run as fast as he can with his fingers outstretched, like webbed, outstretched into a brick wall as fast as he can. And he would not generate enough speed to break, to even flinch his fingers, to even notice that. But he's
you won't even jam one, you moron. But no, gotta have it.
You run a 12 second 40. You cannot generate enough mass times velocity equal. I can't remember whatever that is.
Torque. Probably torque.
Torque could be. Sounds
viscosity.
Right.
Sure.
Mu. Is it mu?
Yeah. Not enough mu.
Anyways, that's the dichotomy. That's what you're going to run into. So it's that, it's those both sides of that bell curve.
Yeah.
And then you just, and then there's everybody that's kind of in the middle too, but you're going to see those extremes of the bell curve.
Yeah. I feel like, and I don't know if what people like think of what I'm like at a baseball field, but I am like the most chill, like positive, happy-go-lucky, with my whatever, joking, laughing, fucking around with the other team's third baseman in the middle of a pitching change until an umpire says something to me. And then it's like, I will fucking fight you. Right. But in every other regard, I do not, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I have a friend who coaches, and he has said like, there was a game last year when like, it was a tie game near the end of the game, and then their guys got a walk-off single or something, and they're like first base coach. They're on the first base side, and their first base coach turns around to their dugout and a grown adult and was like, yeah, you like that? Like, he's like, what? Do I like it? No, you just beat us. Why are you like, no, it's like that's it. The shit that it's like insane to me of like, and I've said this probably a million times, I'll say it a million times more, but like, I'm not on the team. Neither are you. You're not on the team, and I'm not on the team. What the fuck are you talking about? And so I'm a little nervous that I'm gonna. And both mainly, I never like. I just laugh at these guys. I've seen it happen from time to time in other sports. But I'm a little nervous that there's going to be a couple guys acting like that to us. I'm just like, you got the wrong guy, man. I don't give a shit. You don't need to. So I'll report back. But I was curious if you had any experience with the traveling baseball, because we haven't yet. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's maybe the thing that stands out the most. And then the intensity, like you talked about, it's just going to be, it's both ends of the bell curve is really the best way I can explain it. And you're going to see them both. So.
I can't wait. Okay, Stu, top six.
Hey, it's weird that you two of the names on this list got brought up earlier tonight, but
John Wayne Gacy.
in light of the current good times for the Wolves, I wanted to revisit some old friends. So these are the top six Eastern European Minnesota Timberwolves projects whose names make Brandon smile and remind Chicken of the names of guys who might sign with a Florida NHL team in April. outside looking in, Darko Milicic.
Yeah.
Rasho Nesterovic.
Oh, sure.
And Nikola Pekovic.
Oh, man. Peck.
All three of them are there because both Nikola and Rasho turned out to be pretty all right. Mm-hmm. And Darko's a punchline outside of the Timberwolves.
He had one good game for us, and we all were like, this guy's fucking great. One good game.
We had a steal, and then we no longer did. Number six, Mirko Yaric.
Man, we traded a first-round draft pick and Sam Cassell to get Mirko Yaric.
Yes.
And he fucking sucked.
Sure did. He sure did, Brandon. And he also might have signed with the Tampa Bay Lightning last week. We don't know.
Possible. LTIR.
Number five, goddamn it, Brandon,
Alexei Shved. Yes, yeah. Yes, of course.
I thought that was going to just be the one that made you just smile. It's a good call. You smiled when he got brought up earlier tonight.
I smiled on my own accord.
You did. Wasn't he like David Kahn's big like?
Yeah.
Project? Yeah.
Yeah, overseas guy. Yep.
Speaking of overseas guys, number four, Nikolaj Skidishvili.
Oh my God.
Skidishvili.
Let's start with a T. Remember is that how Brandon. That? Yeah. Is that, yeah.
You don't. That's okay.
104 word last name.
Yeah. Starts with a T.
That starts
never
with
gets
T.
pronounced. Yep. He's the ideal Eastern European project. Number three.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
T is.
That's the T.
Can you name another example? T is a pretty loud letter. Like, how is the T silent? That's one of the least silent letters in the alphabet.
Skittish.
The T?
Yes.
Listen, Skittish Billy. Pretty loud.
It's
a not a K, you know.
Spies. Number three, Iggy Rakosevich.
Oh, boy. Wow.
You remember Iggy?
Uh-uh.
You don't remember Iggy?
Nope. I got nothing here. Is this what? Early 90s?
No, he was like early aughts.
Oh, wow. Okay. Blind spot here. That's embarrassing. Right. Okay.
Number two, Stojko Vrankovic.
Stojko Vrankovic. Yep.
Yes. See, there's the nod. That's what I was hoping for. And also signed to the Florida Panthers yesterday. So. And number one, Sasha Pavlovich.
Sasha had some run. Yeah, he had a little bit of run.
That was a junior high one for you, but it's
that's right. I think he ended up getting a little bit of run on a couple other teams, namely the Nashville Predators.
He's your backup goalie. Anyway, that was for you, Brandon.
Thank you so much.
Was he from Serbia or Montenegro?
Sasha?
You can be where I know they hyphenate that country.
Oh, he's a
film, I think. Is that
Serbian
still
Serbian Montenegrin basketball shooting guard, according to Wikipedia?
Which side was he from?
Montenegro.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I knew that. Yeah. I was just about to.
Say that.
Yeah, I was just about to say it. Wow. Okay. And no Nemanja Bjelica on the list. Didn't quite make the cut.
There's just not enough. I mean,
it's tough.
You could be here all day.
I know. You got your Sashas. You got it. I get it totally. Okay. Well, John had to leave us, so he's gone. And it's been a long one. Now I got to get in the editing booth and try to splice together two recordings. So that'll be fun for me. All right, so should we call it? We good?
Yeah, I think we covered everything.
Okay. pressing stop. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next year.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.